hello and welcome everyone to Queer Experience. My name is Eric. I use he, they pronouns. And today we're returning to a fun thing that we did in season one, which is solo tabletop RPGs. And I know what you're asking yourself, Eric, how do you have a solo tabletop RPG with multiple people on a recording with you? And that's a great question. And thank you so much for asking. The answer is we've all played the game already. And now I have four folks who are coming together to talk to me about the experience of playing, for some of them, if this is their first solo game, what this game in particular was like, and that's kind of it. So we played the solo tabletop One Page Left by M. Kieran. And I would like to introduce, so this was you are being pursued by a killer and hopefully you don't die. We'll be seeing some photos of our attempts on socials if you haven't seen them already. But I'm going to let my folks introduce themselves, and we're going to start with our good friend DC. I'm going to tell us your name, your pronouns, and I don't know, like tell me your favorite horror movie, since this is a horror movie inspired game.
All right. Hi, I'm Ian, but on the internet, everybody calls me Danicat or DC, usually DC these days. I use any and all pronouns because we're going on a bit of a gender journey at the moment. We're figuring it out. We're almost there, but right now it's just anything goes for me right now. I hate horror movies. I'm not a horror girly, but I love me some tabletop games, and I was on that first episode, that early episode of mm-hmm. solo tabletop RPG. So I was excited to get back in to do another one, even if I don't like being chased by a killer. Although I play DBD for hours on end.
You know, we love living in a state of delusional hypocrisy, and it's fine.
That's how I exist, just delusional hypocrisy.
Oh, all right. Next up, we've got Caleb.
Hello there. My name is Caleb Wade, the backward speaking podcast producer of Crendemented Actual Plays. My pronouns are they, he, and my favorite horror movie is Perfect Blue. It's more of a thriller. But Perfect Blue by Satoshi Kon is probably my favorite.
Nice. And then we have Sophia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophia, also known around the internet as Nerdy Teddy. And my favorite horror movie is Child's Play.
Ooh, I'm working through season 3 of Chucky right now. I think I've got like one episode left. And
I just watched the new one.
Okay.
Friday, so
yeah, I think that's the one I've got left to watch for that show. So fucking good. I could do a whole episode just on that show. And then we've got Chance.
Hi, I'm Chance, aka Sharkucci, and like DC, I am not a horror movie girly. I don't really like horror experiences that I don't have control over. But I will say, like, if I just had to pick one that I have seen that is like a good horror movie experience, it's probably Scream.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was just, so again, Eric, he, they pronouns. And I'm this controversial person that my favorite scary movie, horror movie is actually Scream 2. I like Scream 2 better than Scream 1, which is a controversial take for some people.
Now I have to ask,
mm-hmm.
the haircut.
Oh, the Courtney Cox haircut?
Yes.
I mean, listen, sins were committed.
That's the actual murderer of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
The hairstylist.
I mean, I will say it's better than the look in Scream 3.
Oh yeah, it's better than when they gave her bangs.
The baby bangs.
The baby.
But you just, I don't know, there's something about Laurie Metcalf just being completely psychotic, and I don't know, just the silliness of it in the college campus setting, and all this time I'm like, how is all of this happening? None of this logically makes sense, but here we are. I'm going to start with the first question for, actually I'm going to start with DC and Chance, because you said that you don't like horror movies. So what made you want to play this, if horror, well, we know that Ian is living in delusional hypocrisy about horror, but what made you, like, because this was the thing where I was like, hey, who wants to specifically play this horror game? What made you two interested in playing this horror game if this is not your vibe usually?
I mean, well, like, you know, like I said, I play a lot of Dead by Daylight. So like there are certain ways that I can trick my brain into being like, it's not horror. We're going on an adventure where they're trying to kill us. You know, for something like this, especially with it's like a one page thing where it's quick and easy and you get to just kind of dive into the world immediately. I don't have like the big thing that freaks me out with horror movies is the tension buildup. It's the tension buildup. And my boyfriend will tell you, I am the jumpiest bitch. He's just existing in our apartment and I will catch a glimpse of him out of the corner of my eye and jump out of my skin. So like going to a horror movie where that is like the whole deal is the building of the tension and all of that. I do not do well, but sitting here where I'm just being like, Oh, this is fun. Oh, the killer has a pitchfork. Oh, hope he doesn't stab me. I can trick myself, and I enjoy this kind of thing.
Fair. And Chance?
I think I'm kind of in the same boat where when it comes to, like, game experiences, like, I'm able to have a bit more control over the narrative in that sense, whereas, like, a movie, you're just kind of a spectator. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. So you're just kind of having to sit there with the uncomfortable tension-building moments. I used to play DVD a lot myself. I don't as much anymore, but like those kind of like drop in, drop out experiences of, oh, like I'm just going to be in this scary environment for 10 to 15 minutes and then I'm done, or, you know, however long. Whereas, you know, playing this game, like I had a bit more control over how scary the narrative was going to be, if I was listening to music or not, you know, that kind of thing.
And then for Sophia and Caleb, what about this game was, I guess, what drew you to it, or what was kind of exciting about the idea of like playing this game in particular?
I think, the most interesting thing for me was getting to be a final person, you know, and like getting to create, at least in the moment of playing the game, a queer horror movie. Because a lot of people, especially a lot of Black non-binary people, don't often make it to being the final person. They're often like sidekicks, or they're the sassy friend that gets killed by the killer like right before the end, and their tragedy is supposed to motivate the pretty white protagonist. But with this game, I go, okay, even if I die in this game, the character that I create will do something awesome, and that was pretty interesting to me.
Sophia, what about you?
Yeah, so, I mean, especially, like, I mean, it was exciting to be, you know, final girl in that context, but I loved the aspect of you're writing that page you find in Resident Evil laying on the ground that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you until later or something. And, you know, Resident Evil, that's a big one that shaped me in terms of horror video games. I really love that one. I'm blanking on others, but you know, it's become a pretty popular thing, and it was a really cool aspect of the game.
Yeah, and for those listening, that was kind of the mechanic of this game, is that as a solo tabletop, it's a journaling kind of game, and so you roll up your character, and then there's a giant grid, and you start rolling your d6, and whatever number you roll, there's a corresponding prompt that goes with it, and you start kind of working your way kind of down the grid when you start rolling multiples of the same number. And if you roll, I think it was like five or six of any one number, that got you to like an ending. And if you rolled three sixes, 666, that killed you. And so it was, and the idea is that you were trying to fill this page up with all these notes and prompts and everything until either you ran out of space and therefore were dead, or got to the end of a prompt, like the prompts, and the prompt said that the game was over. So that was a fun mechanic about the game, which is why partly why I picked it, because it just sounded so fucking cool and so just, I don't know, immersive in that way. And if you've seen our socials over the past week, I've been posting photos of them onto our Twitter of like, hey y'all, is this cool? What happened here? I don't know what this is. But let's talk about our characters. Let's talk about who we played, who we made. I'm gonna just have you all go backwards order from the way that you're on the screen. Are we on the same screen? Yeah. So let's start with Chance, and then we'll work our way back and end with me. Chance, tell us about your person. Who did you play in this game?
So from the prompts, I rolled Drew. He's a paramedic in Backwater, North Carolina. Yes, that's the actual name of the city. And this guy that he's into invited him to some huge party, and he was on the way, he thinks, when he wakes up in this old dusty room he doesn't recognize. And is wondering, where am I? How did I get here? Those kinds of questions.
What did you write? Like, what did you have at the, 'cause so on the top of the page, what was your little description of your dude?
My name is Drew. I'm a paramedic in Backwater, North Carolina. Parentheses, yes, that is the name. This guy I'm into, invited me to a huge party. And I've been wanting to go. Because I've been trying to, see if he's into me or not. And, he's kind of a vapid and vain person, who seems like, he's a big fish in a little pond of backwater and is wanting to get out however he can. That's kind of mostly what he concerns himself with, I think.
Sophia, tell us about your final person.
So I played Claudia, and she's a journalist and or not journalist, janitor, sorry. Janitor, and her little her secret is that her YouTube channel just blew up. At the beginning of the story, she's, she was out for a hike and getting away from the smell of cleaners and chemicals and enjoying the fresh air.
Kayla, tell us about your final person.
I played Luca Bowen, who was a former convict about to restart his life. He was in a bit of an affair that sort of like with like when it comes to affairs, like if you were with the wrong person who has more connections than you think, your life can be ruined. And so they're just Luca's just trying to go on his way, trying to just keep moving and not deal with anything. Finds a mansion. Oh, this is neat. The door is open. That's neat. Conk on the back of
Yep.
the
Yep. As one does. As one
As
does.
one does.
And DC, what do you got for your final person?
The one I'm going to talk about, let's say. Let's go with that. The
Okay.
one I'm going to
Yeah.
talk about.
So for context, DC was sometimes when we do solo games, DC plays them multiple times over, which is amazing. And this one at least was shorter than the last one we did, which
Yes,
could the
yes.
other one we did took hours if you really spent time with it.
Oh, and I did, and I loved
That's
it.
so many pages of paper, though.
I have 3 pages here. I did it 3 times. Although in my defense, like I was only gonna do it once because I definitely felt like I overachieved the first time. But I died after 3 rolls, and I'm like, let's try that one again. So, but the one that I'm gonna talk about, I played a janitor named Herman. I didn't give him a last name. Just Herman, who this one was wild. Janitor secret was just got laid by my dream person. That was where we started. Where we
Now,
started.
was it dream person like ideal person or dream person like I dreamt them and had a dream sex?
I took 5 minutes to make that decision, and I went with ideal person, but there was a very brief amount of time where I was like, dream sex. Dream sex could be real fun. But no, I went with ideal person.
Okay.
But basically, I like the opening diary entry is, I just had the greatest night of my life. My date with Fiona ended up with us in bed. It was perfect. We clicked on a levels that I never known with anyone else. I think I love her. She gets me. She doesn't judge me. I've never been this happy. I can't wait to see her again. And then we wake up in the mansion with a splitting headache. And, well, spoiler alert, it's not going to end well.
And I had, so I played Stuart, and my opening little bit says, my name is Stuart. Nobody realizes my partner, William, died last week, and I think I'm next. Because my secret was that my partner had recently died, and so I just built that in, that it was the killer coming also for me. And I very intentionally chose the names Stu and Billy / Stuart and William.
That's
because
so good.
Because
so
I am
good.
A scream girly.
You can't see me right now, but I'm shaking my head. Just
everyone can just assume when I make bad jokes like that, DC is rolling eyes, shaking head.
Assume there are wide eyes and just far out gazes in the audience.
But I think so. But yeah, I thought and my job, I was a delivery person, was my job. Although I kind of wrote that down and then I kind of forgot about it later on. But it's fine. Once you get in the mansion, like it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I kind of have the same thing with my character's secret, because my character's secret was, you're not who you claim to be. And so I was like, I don't know how to write that into the like bio statement, because what kind of person would say, I'm not who I claim to be? I'm just not.
Well, people with main character syndrome would probably.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not Tanner O'Houlihan. I'm Rita O'Houlihan of Toledo, Ohio.
Tina talks what? Like this. Dina talks like this.
But I do. So I want to talk about our killers, and I'm just gonna. I think for me, I just want to read you the little blurb that I wrote, because one of the prompts once you make your killer is you can like draw them, describe them, whatever. And so I wrote, and so mine is. So my killer had a scythe and always had music following them, like a haunting song, and wore sunglasses. That was the combination that I got. No one gets Caleb's having a full moment right now. Caleb's face is just having a full.
So full your moment. Character is literally in Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I got Huntress.
Because I forgot to mention, hi, I also play Dead by Daylight.
We love Dead by Daylight, girlies. But so this is what I wrote for my little reflections on my killer. I said, I hear the song before I see the face, the eerie melody that I can't quite place. I heard it at night. I heard it the night he died, and it lingers. I see him in the distance, never through the eyes, though. He keeps them covered as if hiding up their true nature.
Bars.
So that was my. So I had actually a lot, because that really played into a lot of things I did through the rest of it. Because it, like, the music bit of it fed narrative for me of like some of the different spots you had to like write down like what people are saying or what the chanting was or some of these other like bits. But yeah. Let's go. We'll just go backwards. DC, tell us about your killer.
Well, I do want to just very only time I'm going to talk about the other two for the most part. My first two attempts, they both, even though they had very different aesthetics, both of them were emitting fog. And I rolled emitting fog again. I was like, God damn it. I just did this. But the actual killer for this one that I'm going to talk about for the most part had a plague doctor mask. And ooh. I was really hoping I was going to get the scythe. Or the hacksaw. Those were like the two I was hoping for. Ended up with a cleaver, which is not bad. I can work with that. But then I got.
But it's not aesthetic enough.
No, it's not aesthetic enough, and it irked me. But then I got consistently laughing, And I'm like, you know what?
Oh.
That'll take care of it. That takes care of it. It doesn't matter what he's holding at that point. Just constantly.
Cut, print, it's over.
Yeah, exactly. So I decided, since Plague Doctor, I leaned into that a little bit. So the dream that I had was, it's late in the hospital. I'm working my way down the hall of the cardiac wing, but there's no one here. No nurses, no night attending, no patients. Why is it so quiet? And then the lights go out. I click my flashlight on and I head to the nurse's station. No one's there. That's when I hear the laughing, the high-pitched, shrieking laughter. A light flickers on down the hall, and suddenly he's there. That mask, I think I wrote very small. I'm having a hard time reading what I love. He's laughing hysterically as he comes running down the hall impossibly fast. Oh, God, no. And that's when I wake up at the mansion. That was the dream that I had. But yeah, just this plague doctor shrieking laughter with a cleaver in his hand, just sprinting at you.
I love it.
Behavior, Caleb, if you're listening.
I'm available for consults.
We want royalties if you do.
Yes.
Caleb, who is trying to kill you?
Oh boy, I will read the little blurb before I get into what I rolled. A little bit of voice acting.
Yes.
It comes slowly, but happily. Big Hat reminded me of some twisted form of a Derby Lady or Carmen Sandiego. It holds a bloody crowbar, and its tattered dress is stained with blood. Is it my blood? Will it be my blood? I gotta run. So I rolled Big Hat, crowbar, and wedding dress.
Ooh.
I love it. Oh, that's so good. Sophia, what do you got?
So I wrote that he fills the doorway as he bends, even as he bends down to pass through it. The baseball bat dangles from his hands. Or the red-stained baseball bat dangles from his hands as it drags on the floor. I can see his teeth as he smiles at me. But I can't see his eyes. Only my reflection in his sunglasses. And yeah, I rolled sunglasses, baseball bat, and tall and slender.
Nice.
Like Slender Man's bro cousin. Sup, you're in this mansion. Guess I'm gonna kill you.
And Chance, who is trying to kill you?
It stands over me. Legs and feet are swallowed in smoke. I can't move. Long, sharp teeth, red skin, horns on top of its head. It holds a nail gun and shoots nails into my hands and feet, holding me in place. I scream with no sound.
Oh.
Not for me some... and DC reacting at the same time.
Not all of you being like, I'm not really a horror girly, but here's my fucking terrifying description of the person trying to murder me.
But if we want to view that at a in a comedic lens, it's just him from the Powerpuff Girls with a nail gun. Still terrifying, but also funny.
Yeah. All right, so we've got the kind of general setup of each of our characters, each of our killers, and this, I think we'll do this more popcorn style. So feel free to everyone can kind of just jump in as you see fit. But talk to me about what was it like going through this process, right? So again, mechanically, you're rolling a die. It gives you a number. There's a grid. If you roll a one, you start there. If you roll a one, the next box, you go down the grid. So it's kind of a column of ones, column of twos. And again, you're trying to get basically five of a single number, and you're going through answering these prompts. And I'll read one just so people can have a little bit of the flavor. So it's the first box is, you're hiding in a closet. Through the crack of the door, you see the killer looking for you. What's going through your mind? And then what you do is on the paper, write down what's going through your mind without running out of room with everything else. But yeah, what was people's experience like going through and actually engaging with this game?
I will say that going from the character creation, which is like you roll a d6 twice, right? Mm-hmm. So 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, and so on and so forth. Going into the game, part of me expected, like, without like sort of kind of like going through it, like, oh, so the rest of the game will follow that format. Like each of these will be like 5-1, 5-2, but it's actually like, hey, if you roll a 1 and then a 5 and then a 1, you do the 1 prompt, the 5 prompt, then the 1-1 prompt.
Yeah.
And that kind of messed me up like at the beginning. But other than that, it was just mostly me praying like, don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die. Just looking at my D6 like, you better not ruin this for us.
So to follow up on Caleb's statement, I did not play the game right.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
So, oh, no. Did you do like you rolled the first cot, like the first row?
So like, for example, I rolled a 5. So I did that prompt. And then my next one was I rolled a 2. So I thought, oh, well, that's my second roll. So I just do the 2-2. So I did this spiral staircase one. So that's why my page has such little content compared to everyone else's, because I didn't play it right. So that's, I guess, fine.
So wild is that, like, I did the same thing with the chapel and then the masks.
So then you would have rolled what? You had 1, 2, 3, like 5 or 6 rolls that you did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had 17 rolls by the end of mine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So to amend my statement, I guess I'll say that playing this game for the bulk of the experience, I was confused as to whether I was playing the game correctly or not. And it turns out I was not. But it was fun. I mean, you know, hoping and also you getting the experience of, you know, is this a good time to use the limited resources of the luck that I have to change one of my rolls to make it something else? Or do I stick with what I rolled? You know, those kinds of questions. That's kind of, you know, something you have a little bit more control over.
Yeah.
I will say, to piggyback off that, I think that confusion, like they say in the actual instructions, that this is a quick and dirty game. Chaos and confusion and disorganization are part of the experience. Like they wrote that them in the actual instructions. And I think even, you know, because the one I'm talking about is my third playthrough of this. And even on my third playthrough, I wasn't sure I was playing it correctly. So I think that that kind of is part of it, is a lot of it is up for interpretation of like how you want to build the mansion that you were escaping in. It's like, I picked a spot where there was open space and I worked in it. And then I moved on and moved around the page. But then, like, you'll reach a prompt that says turn the page clockwise, and I'm like, oh shit, have I not been supposed to be doing that? Was I not supposed to do that? So like, I think that confusion is just kind of part of the game.
Yeah, and I think we talked about when we did the first goes of our tabletop thing, like the one tricky thing with solo games, right? Like, there's no one to say like, oh hey, you're doing it right or you're doing it wrong. You just do it. But I think that's one of the nice things about solo games is like, Chance had an experience with this game that is likely different than other folks, but you still had an experience and it was your experience and you had fun. And at the end of the day, who cares otherwise? I mean, you know, it's probably one of those things where, like, the game designer is going to be listening into this and being like, it's like the TikTok of the girl watching somebody put the wrong pieces in the same like children's toy thing over and over again. She's like, no, the round peg goes in the round, not the square. Oh God.
Not the rectangle, yeah. Not the rectangle.
That Sophia, video like attacks me.
As someone who's working on a game myself, I understand that. And I, one day we'll have that experience. Sophia, what was the experience like for you as you were going through this?
I mean, I found it a little, chaotic, which, it's definitely supposed to be, but you start with just you and the killer, and then, for me, it was like suddenly there's another person and they're, dead or dying, and then at some point there were cult members a couple of times, and it certainly gets strange, and interesting. And I was, I kind of I got a really good ending for, cause for how I started with the killer and the sunglasses and the reflections and stuff. And so, cause I got the mirror ending. So it lined up pretty good. I think it's an interesting game. Some of the rules, like, I did feel in the like overwriting and stuff at first, I was a little confused about it, like reading it and like not much explanation until you get a prompt that's like, oh, here's what overwriting is. So, but I do know that it can be pretty hard to cram all that on just a couple of pages. So.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I definitely think like there was. I mean, obviously, like the confusion of like, am I doing it right? And again, back to like when you're playing a game by yourself, you're like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I'm just hoping for the best. But yeah, I think I had a similar experience. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I honestly will probably give it. Like, I'll probably play a couple more of it at some point. And narratively for me, like the prompts were interesting because like I also I think started off with being in a room with a corpse in front of me. And so my journal prompt on that one was, why is William on the floor? We buried him last week. Because I was like, who else, like narratively in my brain already, like whose other body would be in the room? Obviously, it's my dead partner because that was my character creation. And like, yeah, I think that like writing, and especially when you look back at the prompts afterward, because they're not in context, like you don't have like, the question, you just write a prompt answer because you don't want to take up too much space. Like, I have one that just says, I found an ear on my page. But I also did that, like, there's a hedge maze prompt where you have to close your eyes and draw your way through a hedge maze. And so across my page, I just have this black line in marker that goes over everything. And it happens to end and circle right at the thing that says, I found an ear. So. Like there's something about like looking back at it that like is just very interesting. And I'm already looking at the Twitter post from I posted Caleb's page already.
It was such a struggle trying to read the description of the killer because, like, my ending, like, is written over everything.
Yeah. But like somebody's already responded to the picture being like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, oh, BB, it's just a game. It's just a game.
I will say when it comes to, like, the prompt of, like, you find someone, who is it? I'm just like, oh, what, who matters to this character? And like, there's a lot of, as a person, have a Rolodex of characters in my mind that I've just created over the years that I'm just willing to pull out for anything I get to play because I'm kind of a forever GM at the moment. Going into this character that I just created and going like, and they could die. Like, that's also interesting because we're often like, who wants their character to die in like a D&D session, right? Especially if you don't think they've gotten like what they deserve or what narrative arcs they like need. But this is a horror movie where that's just sped through your character development, your like energy. It's just like by the time like I got the escape end, and just like I rolled a four and Luca was back in jail, and like, oh, so how would he feel about that? It's just like, do you mind if I read that part?
Go for it.
I don't stop running. I don't care that I'm out of breath or my heart is racing. I run and I find a cop. A cop who knows me. Another jail cell. It's fitting, but I don't mind it. Either way, I'm safer here. fuck mansions. Like going through hell in one night and going, you know what? I'm good with a jail cell. I don't want a wedding killer to come after me again.
Yep. I'm curious for everybody. So one mechanic of the game is that when you picked a number at the beginning, wrote that number in the middle of the page, and then you had to draw a luck symbol kind of around anytime you rolled that number. So I'm curious for everybody, what was your number you chose and what was your symbol that you drew?
Well, for this run, I went with 3, and I just made a symbol that was just kind of like a spiral, almost like a, like a hypnosis kind of spiral, just mm-hmm. very simple. And I ended up getting the scar ending, which is the 3s. So I ended up rolling a lot of 3s. I had way more luck than I needed this particular run, one of the reasons why I did several run-throughs of this game is the first run I did, I picked 2 and did, or no, I picked 5. I picked 5 and didn't roll a single 5. And then I rolled a 6 on my third roll and immediately died. So.
Woof.
Yeah, it was that first playthrough was rough. But yeah, so I just have the 3 in the middle of the page, just surrounded by all of these spirals that I ended up not using.
For me, my lucky number was 6, and I chose hearts. Just little hearts on the corner of the page. But speaking of luck, I never used luck. Like, I didn't really understand it. And, like, I was like, okay, do I shift, like, is it a number forward or a number backward? Or it can be either. And I'm just like, I don't know if I should. It's going back to the, am I playing this game right? So I never really used it, and like thankfully I didn't have to because I lived, but like I'm just like, what even is, you know, but that may just be on me, you know.
Yeah. Sophia, which number did you choose, and what was your symbol?
I chose 5 and I drew like a little mountain peak.
Okay.
Ooh.
Just like a triangle with like a little snow.
Love that.
Nice. And Chance?
I chose 4 and I did like a little winky face. And so for my run that I did, we've established I wasn't playing it correctly. In another way, I was unsure if I was playing it correctly because the instructions say, you know, pick a number between 1 and 6, write it out as a word in the middle of your page. Decide what your luck will look like and draw 1 luck somewhere on your sheet. So I thought, and I could be mistaken, I thought we start with 1 luck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Clarity. So the first number I rolled was a 6. So I immediately had to use that luck in order to get a 5 instead.
Yeah, I had 3 for mine, and I drew the Celtic knot. Like the little, like from like the charmed little symbol. Cause I wanted something. Tra. Yeah. I want something religious-y, but I don't want it to be Christianity. So what could I use? I was like, oh, we'll use this. Cause it's like, that fits with stuff. Yeah. And I had 5 of them, 5, 6 of them by the end. And like, there was a point where I got to like, I saw as I was rolling the die, I was like, okay, I've got like 4 3s. So if I get another 3, then I can get the 3 ending and I can get out. Like, and that could be my pathway out, which would have given me the scar ending. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep rolling until either I feel like I'm too close to like a full page or if the 6s start coming into play. I was like, I've got a little bit of that wiggle room that I could like, I could or could not use them. And then my last 3 rolls were all 4s. So that's how I ended up with the mirror ending. So when it got to the last roll, I could have opted to take the scar ending instead, because that was also at like a 4 for me. And I almost wish that I would have also printed out the page with the grid. So that way I could have like blocked all, like crossed off the ones that I had used just for like that little bit more of a visual. Cause like I'm a visual person. But on my page, when I post it on Twitter, people will see it like down the right column, starting up in the top corner. I just started writing the numbers out down the line. So you can see like every role instead of them just being like scattered all over the paper somewhere, which probably isn't how you're supposed to do it because it wants you to be messy. But I was like, no, I think that looks good. Cause then there's just a bunch of numbers that keep adding to the front digit as you go down the lines. But yeah, I never ended up using the luck because I never actually found myself in a spot where I really was worried about it kind of in one way or another, but I did like the idea of it. I like that it could happen during character creation because I rolled a 3 while rolling up my character. So I got a luck during that process.
It is only through this discussion that I realized that I was supposed to start with one luck. I did not give myself that one starting luck in that for in any of these playthroughs. I didn't give myself starting luck.
We're doing so great. You're doing great, sweetie.
I'm doing so good. but I also wasn't. I missed that other bit that I can use a luck to increase or decrease the value of a number. I didn't do that either. I completely forgot that was something that we could do. So after this
recording, we're all going to go play the game as intended, right?
Everyone's going to go play it for real to the fullest of its capabilities.
We'll be back in 6 months.
Yeah. I am curious. Did anyone pull up the Spotify list that the game designer put in the PDF?
Yeah,
I didn't.
No, I didn't.
No. I saw Chance did. DC, did you?
No, I didn't.
No. So I did. I had it. I was sitting in my living room. I have like my big TV with my big like sound system, and I had the music playing while I was doing it. I was like, "Oh, this is creepy." It was that nice extra ambiance for it.
Yeah, I agree. It was good, like additional ambiance, and it added to the sense of confusion that I was already feeling as I was going through the roles and stuff, and thinking, "Am I doing this right?" I'm pretty sure I'm not playing this game correctly.
Are all bops from like Resident Evil, Silent Hill.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The first one that when I hit play, I think the first thing that came up was like Halloween 3. And like there's just like a good ambient. I mean, it's not something I'd have on in like my office, but like I liked it for like ambient background noise, which is probably a weird thing to say because it's meant to be concerning and creepy music. But I was like,
I completely understand.
all right, I guess I want to, so another question I have for folks is thinking about the prompts that you had and the prompts that you kind of had to respond to in the game, was there a prompt that really stood out to you that like really like hit in a certain way or really made you think in a certain way? Look, Sophia, because I feel like other people have been talking a bit. Sophia, what did you have one that really stood out to you?
I feel like I had a couple really good ones. I think my favorite was coming upon some like really creepy artwork in a room, and then you're supposed to either describe or draw it on your page.
Yep.
The one I think that made me think the most is maybe the mirror ending itself. Cause like, okay, how does this mirror fit into the rest of it? How does the reflections a really good thing to play off? And so then in the end, as Claudia is staring into the mirror, she's saying, "It's me. The killer is me."
Ooh.
Because part of the mirror ending is also your like your mind is you know, you've been pushed beyond its limits of what it can bear. So as you stare into the mirror, so I thought it was.
That's really good. I like that.
Yeah, I had the mirror ending as well, and I got that there was a child in the mirror. And so my interpretation of that is that it was the child that Stu and William would have had. like if they would both would have lived, and that like my mind was broken at that point. So like I was losing it and everything else and dying in this house, but like that this was the like different path and kind of a sad and happy ending at the same time. Like you're dying and you're not going to make it out, but also like what a beautiful life I could have lived. Which
can
feels
I,
like it almost
can
hurts
I ask
more.
You something? Can yeah. I ask you something though? Was the child a young Melissa Barrera?
God willing. God willing it would have been a Melissa. Her name would have been Melissa.
I think for me, the interplay between fives and twos, because five is all about cult stuff, right? Like it's all about like there's some weird stuff going on. So I decided to go with like a mother matron crone sort of thing, very Silent Hill. There was a moment where I rolled just twos nonstop, and I had. The two prompt is as basically the killer busts through and you flee. As you run, you see bloody words on the wall and red record what you saw. I said, crones show their end. Then the spiral, which you run a spiral staircase, you draw a spiral, and then in the entire length, you write down what's keeping you going. And wrote, I can't die here, I won't die here, not here, I will get out, why can't I live for once? And going back to the wedding theme with, like, 222, like, you go down a chute and you, like, fall on something, something breaks your fall, but you have to write with your non-dominant hand, which, I suck with writing with my right hand. So in the shakiest font possible, oh God, are these brides? They're all brides. It was a wild ride from start to finish.
Yeah, I had to do non-dominant hand twice in that particular playthrough, and the one where you had to put the pen in your mouth.
I had to do that too.
That was
that one.
Oh,
I didn't
get
that either.
I was like, so afraid I would like crush my pen in my teeth.
Yes, I'm literally like hunched over the table, hands like bracing myself, just very carefully going.
I held my paper up like I'm gonna do this. For a podcast.
I was like, I was gonna do that, and then I'm like, no, I'm gonna rip this thing in half if I try to do that. I'm just hunched over my table, just. And I had to do that one twice, one from an earlier one. The earlier run, I just wrote a single word with it. But then for this one, I did actually draw something. I managed to draw, I feel like I did a pretty good drawing of a chicken wing. But then I had to do the two non-dominant hands, and I had to do the spiral. This one was, I had so much to do on this one. There was,
oh yeah.
It gives you a lot of really like varying but fun prompts. For me, a lot of the story stuff happened though in the red ink, which I didn't have a red pen, so it was just pencil for me. Because I had the doctor as the plague mask doctor, it kept saying like write what you hear chanting or you see a bloody message on the walls, and so it was all like I had like written down like the chant that the cultists are doing is do no harm. Do no harm.
That's
do no
so
harm.
Good.
There was the bloody message on the wall was time for a checkup. A sentence that he kept repeat. You're
oh
hiding in
God.
The closet, and you hear him repeating over and over. And is a stitch in time saves nine. It keeps going on and on, and like just all of this stuff. I found like lots of ways to really like bring in that story bit on the doctor in the red ink.
I also got the chanting prompt.
Chanting prompt.
And I wrote, matron shine upon us, matron shine upon us, matrons shine upon us.
I think I got that one as well. So with my person kind of having this like melody thing, I almost leaned a little bit into like an idea of like a siren or one of those things that like an incubus succubus that kind of like lures you and like claims you eventually. And so the chanting was accept him, accept him, accept him. Like basically like submit and turn yourself over to the song and to the power that like he's trying to take from you.
Yikes, friends.
And I, well, at some point I got a, like the prompt that was, it was the 3-5. So it was, you find yourself in a dusty library before you is a lectern with a large tome open to some arcane diagrams. You cannot stay for long, but you learn something about the killer, record your findings. And on that one, I wrote down that the song was part of a ritual and that the ritual was about obtaining power through like souls, like capturing of souls. And so like, it was fun to be able to like build out the mythos of the things around you, even if like you're like, it's all solo games. Like there's, you do whatever you want, but like, it was fun to be like, okay, like, so, but like, what would that actually be? Like, what would I find written down? Like, what's the, what, how can I make this as horrifying for myself as possible? But yeah, I think there's just so many of the different prompts that like, the red ink ones all kind of got me, because they were mostly like, there was one where it was like somebody was screaming out to you and you didn't do anything to save them. And so like all I wrote was just do something, like in big letters underlined, like do something. But yeah, it was such a good and like wild ride. I think Chance, actually, I don't think we had a chance here like to get from you. What was there a prompt that really stuck out?
There were a couple to me. There was one that had me write in my non-dominant hand, which my handwriting in my dominant hand is atrocious already. So, I mean, writing in my non-dominant hand was basically a non-starter. But it's just kind of jarring to see somebody's handwriting just look differently on a page. So I think it adds to the layer of like, you know, this is a found journal entry by somebody, you know, why is their handwriting in that space different from everywhere else? Kind of adds to the layer of the horror in a little bit. And then also I got the spiral staircase one. So like just, you know, having to like write down in different ways than you normally would, like the prompts, I think, that change the way the page appears, or, you know, like DC was saying before, turn the page clockwise and da 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 da. I think those kind of prompts are the ones that were the most interesting to me.
Yeah, I feel like there's just a lot. Like, I definitely like thinking about different ways I might do this or ways that I might try it again. Like, there's a lot you can kind of play with in here. And I love that about this game and like about kind of how it's built. And like, I was even trying to like read some of my things. Like, some of them are hard because like I had to draw, I overwrote on things. Like, I can't read the spiral anymore because I drew a mirror over it. I also was looking at my paper and I was like, I think my handwriting is too nice to be in a horror movie. Cause like, I've got all this like very nice cursive writing. And like, it just looks really nice. And then like, you do have like I got a couple of the non-dominant hands and like, those don't look as good, but I was like, oh, my very neat handwriting does not lend itself to the thematics of this game.
Stuart's an English teacher.
Stuart was going to grow up to be an English teacher. He was going to be somebody.
The non-dominant hand thing, really, I haven't attempted to write with my left hand in probably 20 to 25 years at this point. So it's just like, write with your left hand. I was like, okay. Oh God, how letters work. Jesus.
How to write.
Yeah.
My husband, he looked at the page that I did, because I wrote for the non-dominant prompt that I got. I wrote bodies everywhere, blood everywhere. I tried to keep it short because I was like, this is uncomfortable. I don't know how to write with my non-dominant hand. But he keeps reading it as boobies everywhere, blood everywhere.
Speaking of like going back and like doing this again, I kind of want to do this. Like, I would love to play it again, but in the campiest way possible. For example, like if I got like three fives. It's like, you can't stay for long, but you learn something about the killer, record your findings, and just imagine writing, oh my god, he's a Scorpio.
Wait, are you Madison from She-Hulk?
Oh my god, the killer keeps trying to chase me. Is he mad at me?
I feel like
I'm hiding in a closet. I'm hiding in a closet upstairs, but it's not where you think.
It would be like, I mean, again, like, and while it's set up to be creepy, like, you could still lean, like, I mean, because we talked about it before we started, like, one of the killer traits that I was really mad I didn't get, and I almost used the luck to get it, to be quite frank, was the killer being hot as hell. I really wanted that, and I didn't get it, and I was just very bummed, and I was like, oh, how can, like, I want this, like, sexy killer chasing me down, where I'm like, oh no, killer, please don't do that. What? Oh, did I drop something? Oh no.
Oh my gosh, you've got oil on your shirt. Here, let me take care of that. Please don't stab me. But like, imagine also playing this as like a girly pop monster fucker. It's just like, oh my gosh, broken shackles.
And like, at this point, like, I don't stream anymore, but I know, like, I feel like this could be a super hilarious thing to do on a stream.
Sure.
Like, yeah. audience, like, being able to respond to prompts where it's like, what did we see? And they, like, give you some lengthy thing you have to write on the page. And, like, you then have to be like, okay, so I have to write the 7 sentences in this little corner. And, like, let me try.
The chat's
like,
actively trying to screw you up.
Yeah. And, like, yeah. Like, oh, you have to use a luck to make it worse than what it was. Like, it definitely has, like, I think some, like, even though it's a solo game, I think it's got, like, some fun interactive pieces to it. Or I could even see sitting around a table with some friends and having a singular piece of paper and we just, like, pass it around the table.
That
and,
would be
and
fun.
And everybody does a different, so, like, then you roll the dice and are in control of the prompt to see what thing you get next.
That could be really cool.
Caleb, you gave him a katana? What? It's not my fault. The dice is telling the story.
I didn't do anything. Like, you drew this portrait that took up 3/4 of the page. I don't know what you want me to do.
You can't use luck to make him hot again. That's for you.
Like, you're even all, like playing, like, everyone's playing it very seriously, and then it gets around to the one person. You get the prompt, like, you find the body in the cellar, and they just, like, oh my god, ew, and leave. That's all.
Icky.
And we were saying it before it start. We started, but I think, one thing that I would love, and if M. Kieran is listening, I would pay money for more grids. Like,
M. Kieran, if you're listening.
M. Kieran, if you're listening, I will throw money at you if I can have another, like, because I feel like the replay is good after you play it the first time. Like, you can definitely go through and have a different experience, but it would be, I would love if there was, like, you know, what inspired by, like, sci-fi horror, like, you find yourself on a spaceship and it's very aliens-esque, or, you know, you find yourself at a carnival and, like, there's so many different, I mean, and realistically, and I could sit down and make a grid and fill it out, I could make a grid, but A, I'm lazy, and B, I want to pay someone else to do it, which kind of go hand in hand, but M. Kieran,
it's just like,
you
one,
should let us give you more
page
money.
Left in space, one page left in dreams.
Yeah.
but it's just like the level at which you have, like, opportunities for that. I'm already looking. There is.
Yo, what?
There is a holiday version.
Oh.
One page holiday. That's coming
this.
Home with me today.
I need to find this.
It's a name your price. I'll put it in the chat.
I found it. Oh my gosh.
But like that kind of add-on for this, I feel like you could just keep making more and more of these, and like, it would be beautiful.
Oh, for sure.
So my question for everybody is, because I love doing this with games. If you're playing it again, or maybe doing some one of these iterations, is there some way you might homebrew something or home rule something to make the experience a little bit different for you in a future run?
I think like the one thing, the one, like, I'm not going to call it a criticism. It's just, it's a difference in the game. But like the one thing I really liked about it was Torch in the Dark was the game we played.
Yeah, Torch in the Dark.
What I really liked about that was the card system was that it was very random. It was very random. You shuffled up the deck and then you flipped and you got the prompt based on the card you flipped. With this, like having one is always the same prompt. One is always the same prompt. Two is always the same prompt. And you have to work your way down. But that means that like there are some prompts that I never saw. Like I never got close to the mirror ending. I never got close to the cult ending, never got close to the rat ending. So it was like the one thing that I would like, I wish was that there was just like a touch more randomness to it, like a way to experience more of the prompts more randomly rather than you have to do this prompt first and then move down that tree. I would wish for like a little bit more randomness for me.
I think I would love a twist ending. Like I because like a lot of the ends are like kind of classic horror, like you're locked in the attic, you escape, you're scarred from this experience, you're trapped in a mirror. Like there's a cult, there's a killer, but like I would love like I don't know if it'd be like subversive or anything, but I would love like maybe there's ending is like and then you wake up. Or surprise, this was an elaborate escape room. Like, just something to add, like because I like a little camp and a little fun, like comedy and horror. Like Scream is fantastic for that because it's all genre savvy. Like there is never a moment in this game that can play towards those kinds of characters. We're all like potentially traumatized, about to be more traumatized people. And I think like now, granted, one page holiday might give me what I want, because I was looking at it and it's like everything is separated by a month and a holiday within that month. So that might be my jam. But though I really love this game, going in with the randomness and like replayability, I don't know if I'd play it more than like five times unless I like turned it on its head.
Like I said, I think I like the my own little thought of like, ooh, like what if I sat around with friends and did this? Because like my friends are just as fucked up as I am. What weird shit are they gonna write down on the page? But yeah, Sophia, anything you would do if you were playing this?
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I do like the more randomness idea to it. But otherwise, I think maybe some sort of more incentive to use luck.
Yeah, I
Be
could see
because
like
there is, you know, endings for running out of luck and stuff. So I think more incentive to try to use it and not hold on to that last one is something that maybe would be more interesting.
I could see like if you like, because it instructs you to use like different writing implements anyway. So like, why not add a pencil and make your luck tokens have to be like at least the size of a quarter? But if you use it instead of Xing it out, you get to erase it. So you still have the remnant of it there. But like more incentive, like if it's taking up a hefty real estate on your page. But yeah, like and overall, and again, I think to what we've been saying, like I loved this game and had fun with it. I think whenever I play
Absolutely.
games, my initial thought is, how can I have even more fun with this? How can I like make it to where I want to keep coming back over and over again? And then when you have one page tabletop games in general are going to have a very limited scope in terms of like some of the things you can do. Like they're not meant to be a D&D style, you know, 17 session campaign, but like, are there ways that I can convince, like, have some different fun with this than what I had the first run with it? Awesome. Well, I think does anyone have any, do you have any final thoughts on the game or playing solo tabletop games in general?
I will say, something kind of popped into my head where it's just like, Monster of the Week, but horror movies?
Yes.
Because.
Stop taking my. That's literally what I'm working on.
Oh, so sorry.
It's truly what I'm working on right now.
Great minds.
When
But I think.
we hit the stop recording button, I'll tell you more about it.
Okay. That's for off mic or the Patreon. I think the main takeaway that I have of this game that is that this is a really interesting one page. I can't wait to play One Page Holiday. I will always recommend this to my friends who love horror movies. But I don't know if the replayability is what it's gonna be for someone like me, who's just like, are my dice rolls gonna be consistent? Is this gonna be the vibe all the time? Just I if I like play this again, I get, okay, I got the cult thing again. But let's see if I can make this fun in a character narrative sense. But yeah, I say, gentle listener, if you're out there listening to the sounds of my dulcet toned voice, play this game. It's really fun. And then play One Page Holiday if you love it.
One Page Holiday does have a Hallmark ending
You're
option.
kidding me.
There's a cursed end, a Hallmark end, a pit end, a phantom end, and an apocalypse end. And then the spirits end, which is the 666.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, there is a Hallmark end. So I think it's gonna have that camp you were looking for.
Yes.
Any other what were other people's thoughts on like kind of final thoughts on being a final quote unquote girl? Go for it, Sophia.
I guess my only thought is that I guess I wish I had spent a little more time being creative with each prompt. I feel like I did. I kind of went with the first idea that popped in my head on first ideas, and then so as I was going, I was like, oh, I wish I had thought a little more on X. But otherwise, I think it's a really great game, and it does encourage you to be a little creative in terms of what you're writing, especially since you're trying not to take up too much space.
Yeah, and we had somebody who was going to record with us and then ended up not being able to join us, but they were at work today and were trying to play this on a post-it note, and they have very, very small handwriting. Caleb, I'll send it to you, and for the other folks that are in the Discord channel, they posted the screenshot of it, like the picture of it, but they were like, challenge mode, let's go, I was like, if
Apparently,
you
there
can.
is a challenge mode for One Page Holiday where you have to write on a smaller piece of paper like an index card. That's hard mode.
I
And
would love
there's
to do it like.
digital, I believe there's also digital mode where if you want to use a tablet, you have to use the same brush size for everything.
Oh, that's yep. Yeah. DC, your chance. Any final thoughts on the game or the solo tabletop experience?
Yeah, I think echoing Sophia's sentiment of, I think if I had sat and had a little bit more time with the prompts, maybe I would have been able to go past the first thing I kind of thought of and try to make it more of a cohesive narrative experience so that it was more scary and more horror in that regard. I think also playing it the way that I played it, which was not as the rules intended, but just rolling like the first time I roll something and going from that list, and then the second time I rolled going from the second list, that's a good way, I guess, to play like an amended version of the game where it's shorter. So if, maybe if you don't have as much time or you're just trying it out and wanting to see how it is, that might be a good way to get your feet wet and see how it is, rather than the 30 minutes to an hour it might take to play a full length game.
Yeah. Do you see anything from you?
Just in generally, I enjoyed myself. It was a really fun way to spend like half an hour. I kind of agree that I think the replayability on this one is very limited. But that doesn't necessarily need to be a bad thing. I mean, it's a one-page TTRPG. Yeah. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I definitely want to give Holiday, one-page Holiday, a try after this, because that getting camp with it sounds like a lot of fun. I think if there's one takeaway for me, it's that I need to do more writing, because I found myself just like, I write very tiny, and I still manage to like mostly fill up this page, and just sitting there, I'm like, I'm supposed to be brief. I'm supposed to not take up too much space, and I'm just like writing paragraphs and just going and going and going. Like, oh yeah, I haven't written in a while. Oh yeah, this is why I used to write all the time. Ah yeah, see. Mm. So it was a lot of fun. I very much enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I think for me, like, I think the solo tabletop genre is one like I always want to do more of it, and I always struggle, I think, to find the motivation to like sit down and play like a solo game on my own. Like, I get to that point of the day where I'm like, oh, like I can just pick up my PS5 controller and play more Baldur's Gate and see how many more party members I can romance tonight, or I can try and learn a rule set for a tabletop game and go through a thing and da 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 da, and like, it's like, I don't, my, like, it's, they're fun and I do enjoy doing them, but I think it just takes a different level of like, I need to be in the like the space to like sit down and learn something when I could just pick up something familiar. And that's on me, that's not on anyone that writes solo games, it's on me.
But I think you're right in saying that there's like a different level of brain bandwidth and like energy level required to dive into something new and learning like a different system. Whereas, picking up something familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't so much mind the having to learn something, but, like, there's some of them, you know, they require different things. So, like, I've had Long Haul 1983, I think is what it's called, like, for a while on my list of, like, play this, but it also requires you to record stuff. Like, because you're, like, recording, like, a phone call, technically. Like, you're leaving a message. And I find that it's a lot different when I'm just playing by myself to find the motivation to boot up something to record that, you know?
Yeah.
Versus, like, this, where it's, like, a page. But, yeah, I do have a little bit of a different, or more of a struggle, you know, finding the motivation to play a solo journal game, even though there's some really cool sounding ones that I have on my, you know, infinite list of games from itch and stuff.
Yeah, the amount of solo tabletop games that I own, I've even bought at least one or two of the solo but not alone tabletop bundles. Yep. Which might be how I got this one. So yeah, I'm not at a loss for having access to solo games. I definitely feel like that, you know, I know they kind of hit for a lot of folks during the early days of COVID because they were a thing that, like, you didn't need other people to do them, which I think makes them a little bit more challenging now, and which is why I wanted to build one into our season, because they are so much fun and more people should be playing them, and I want to push myself to play them. So what a better way to do it than by having it be part of my podcast, and therefore I have to do it because I've cast people to play the game with me. But yeah, I think that's my big, like, I love these experiences. They're always so unique. I think the three different ones that I've done for the pod, which are admittedly the only three that I've played, were each so different that I just love what you can get from these. Like, I had one that we did that was The Witch's Almanac, which was kind of almost like if you played like Forbidden Island or some of those, like the tile games where you're like moving around and flipping things over to see what you find. Like, that was the vibe. And you were literally just trying to find ingredients to have a potion. And if you failed, the stakes were so low. It only mattered to whatever narrative you made it matter. Versus Torch in the Dark, which was like a Dark Souls, super crunchy, high stakes every time you go on a delve. To this, which is also high stakes, but only for a short period of time, because it only takes about 30 minutes to play. So, like, the range of those three games is so vast. That it's really cool to see just the different, what solo tabletop means to different people.
Yeah, and I think the last solo RPG that I played before this was about 4 years ago, and I know because I know I did a YouTube video about this. It was called The Page I Didn't Write. And if I remember correctly, it was like a journaling sort of thing where it's just like, hey, you were so it sort of like, let's get some feelings out, let's get some like things going. And I'm just like, and I look back and I go like, oh no, how would that change now? Or what was I going through back then? Because 4 years ago, not a great time for anybody. But you know, it's interesting how like I've always respected solo RPGs like for their ways to like get people thinking, like change perspective, and like having to do all of the heavy lifting, because it's very easy to go, well, I am interacting with this world that someone has made for me, and instead of doing that, just going, I have to create the world, I have to interact with it, and I have to make sure that it makes sense. Now, for a weirdo like me, that's real fun, but for some people who are just like, I don't ever want a GM, what are you talking about? It can like sort of help, sort of like release those barriers in a way, you know, and yeah.
And I definitely there are definitely plenty like a ton of solos out there that like are very robust. Like the world building in them is incredible. I'm gonna blank on the name, but it's like I want to say it's like Tangled Academy or Tangled something, and it's a tarot-based table solo tabletop. The artwork in it is stunning. And like, but again, like the book is it's not a one page, like it's a hefty one like solo tabletop experience. And a lot of them will have nowadays have like some small variants where you can include like a person or two. But I've seen some like the world building is just so good and so robust that you're just like you almost don't need to G like you're not GMing because all you're doing is answering a question or answering a prompt or doing something that the game is telling you. So, but all right, let's do a quick round of if you'd like to be found on the internet, where can people find you? We're gonna go down the same order that we went in the first time with intros. So DC, where can people find you if you'd like to be found?
I am trying to make it as a Twitch streamer, so definitely come check me out at twitch.tv/damacat. I'm also on Twitter at @TTV_damacat, or just search damacat, you'll find me. I'm on Instagram. But at the same name if you want to find me there. And on TikTok as well, although I haven't posted a TikTok in a hot minute. So at the same name at TTV_damacat.
Caleb, where can people find you if you'd like to be found?
I would like to be found, and please hire me. You can find me most places, Instagram, Blue Sky, not X. I deleted my podcast Twitter and my regular Twitter like when they were rolling out the hey, we're gonna use your tweets to train AI
Yeah, I don't blame you.
thing. You can find me most places at Caleb is Balak, that is KaleBisBelak, because I speak backwards. I also have a podcast, like two podcasts, but like one sort of like, let's put this to the side. My main focus is Crane Demented Actual Plays. I mentioned it up on top. It is a tabletop RPG actual play podcast centering on marginalized voices creating narratives in a fictionalized United States. We just finished season 3, and life has sort of been busy for me, so I haven't gotten episode 2 out yet. I'm working on it, but you can listen to seasons 1, 2, and the first episode of season 3. For season 1, we did City of Mist. For season 2, we did Henshin, a Sentai RPG, and it's basically saying, let's do narratives that we can come back to that aren't Dungeons and Dragons. And if you like a little bit of chaos, a little bit of fun, and like a big old queer time, feel free to listen. You can find it anywhere, basically.
Amazing. Sophia, where can folks find you?
Hi. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky as Nerdy Teddy. And every other Monday, currently you can find me on the Bardic Inspiration Network playing Dakota Dallas in Power Rangers Lightspeed Reunited. and every other Wednesday, also on Bardic Inspiration Network, you can catch me running Power Rangers Monster Force. And I am the founder, CEO, and one of the chancellors for Nerds with Dice. We are a channel that dedicates ourselves to streaming and hosting indie games and, especially unique stories and stuff. So if you want to pitch one or solo RPGs, we do accept pitches for that. And if you have a game you want to play, or if you created a game and you want to showcase it, our creators app is always open. So thank you.
And Chance, if you'd like to be found on the internet, where can people find you?
You can find me on Blue Sky as Sharkucci, SHARK0CHIE. And I deleted my Twitter slash X account a long time ago, so you can't find me there because I do not like Muskrat.
Fair. I have to say, Sharkuchi is such a fun.
That was part of my rebranding like 3 years ago.
Heck yeah.
Also, because I messed up the name before, and I would be upset if I said it wrong. So it was Tangled Blessings is the game that I was thinking of. That is the tarot-based solo, and it's by Cassie Mothwin. The game, I haven't had a chance to play it yet, because again, I said I've only played these three solo game so far, but again, like the artwork and just everything about it is stunning. So I just wanted to put that out there as a as an option for people's games.
Looking at this, this is the game that my friends have been going like, Caleb, you need to play this. I'm like, oh, okay, because I read tarot. So
Universe has then spoken, and I have now told you that you need to play it. So
yes.
but yeah, and if you're listening to the Queer XP for the first time, you can find us on all socials. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at the Queer XP. I'm trying to, I would love to be able to move us off of Twitter, but right now I haven't been able to find something that actually does and has the same level of network that I've built on that site. So we're there for now. We're doing our best.
We know this and we love you.
The next three games that we have coming up, I usually like trying to do them in threes. So next week, the episode you're going to hear is a playthrough of Galactic 2E, which is a Star Wars inspired Belonging Outside Belonging game. Belonging Outside Belonging is a GM-less, dice-less, token-based system where you make small failures to get big wins later down the line. If you listen to us in season one, our finale episode was Crisis, which is also built on that system. So it's going to be very similar. After that, we're doing a demo of the game Little Wolves from Dinoberry Games. It is their new game that'll be coming out. They're doing a Kickstarter in May, and so we're going to be helping them promote. And I have a wonderful, wonderful cast for that, and we're super excited. And then this one I'm really excited for. Mid-May, we're playing a game called Don't Call Me Angel. It is a Buffy the Vampire inspired, Buffy the Vampire Slayer inspired tabletop RPG. And I'm going to say all these words in one sentence, and you all are going to have to stick with me. Ariana Grande plays Vampire the Masquerade for the first time, decides that it's real, and wants to vampire slay David Boreanaz. You play as her Scooby gang, trying to keep her out of trouble.
So someone gets to play her
You
Courtney,
need
right?
to give me this link right now.
I will send it to you all. We're going to be joined by two of the co-hosts from Slayer Fest 98, E. Crawford
Yo!
and Nick G are going to be joining us, as well as two regulars from the pod that are frequent guests with us, Matt Bartlett and Mackie. So we're gonna go all in and bring in our best Judies from the Slayer Fest world. And
Let's
so
go.
we're so pumped for all of that. But those are the next three coming down the line. If you love this episode, we're available on all platforms. Subscribe, rate, review, etc. Tell a friend. But yeah, thank you to all my guests for joining. Thank you so much for playing. This was lovely as always, and we will see everyone next time.